We're just giving Eddie some time to get everything sorted. We're going to start now. Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome. It's nice to have you with us. It's quite cold out, isn't it? Wow. But I'm so blessed that you all came here tonight. Amen. And I'm sure that you're going to have a wonderful time with us. God is in the house, and it's going to be an amazing time. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible. Proverbs, I believe it's 18, verse 21, somewhere around there, says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. You know, if you think about that, that's actually just quite mind-blowing, because we would not make that association if we just had to sit and think about it. If there wasn't somebody to explain to us how this works, we would say that life and death was in a whole bunch of other places, but the tongue, come on. I mean, think about it. Your tongue is soft. Amen? Yes, some people have very sharp tongues. I know and I understand that. And probably some of you, yeah, you've battled a bit under somebody's sharp tongue, but the tongue doesn't seem to be something that is so dangerous. It doesn't seem to be something that can have the power to actually destroy life. Yet God's word warns us that the tongue has the power to bring either life or death. And that means that when we look at the tongue, we have to have a great amount of respect for this soft little thingy that we have in our mouth. You see, it's not just good for tasting. It's good and bad for a lot of other things too. It can bring life into your circumstances, or it can bring death into your circumstances. You know, lately, especially at our Sunday meetings, we've been talking a bit about these kind of things. And I just felt that tonight I want to preach on this, because this is one thing that a lot of people need to know and a lot of people need to understand. You know, sometimes we say, well, I am my own worst enemy. Has anybody ever heard that? Or somebody has said to you, you know what, you're your own worst enemy. Well, I want to take it one step further, and I want to say to you that in many people's lives, it is an absolute God-given fact that it is actually your tongue that is your worst enemy. And it would be surprising for a lot of us to see to what degree the tongue and the way we use our tongue is directly responsible for the dwang that we find ourselves in right now. And God gives us a warning. In your tongue, and the way that you use your tongue, actually, I want to say that the tongue is pretty much neutral. It's the way that you apply it. But if you don't apply it wisely, it will bring death. It will curse your life. Let's quickly ask a question, just for interest's sake. What is a curse? Is a curse really just the fact that somebody goes and cuts a chicken's head off, takes a whole bunch of blood, sprinkles it, and there's it. Now your life is going to go down into the pit? Or is it what was spoken while all of that is going on that will send your life down into the pit? You see, so once again, you can't curse somebody unless you speak the curse over them. You know, whatever demon is summoned by the chicken blood or the lizard's tail or whatever stupid stuff people do, still needs to be assigned to do something, and that comes from the tongue. So what is it that really brings the destruction? It's the tongue. What is a curse? A curse is something that, I want to say 9 times out of 10, we speak. Now here's another interesting fact. People don't have to go to some witch doctor or some swami or some person of ill repute, some devil worshipper, some voodoo queen or something to put a curse on your life. Sometimes the way people speak about you, sometimes the way people talk to you is enough to cause serious problems in your life. Proverbs 10 verse 8 says the following. The wise in heart accepts commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. Let's stop there and just listen to what this proverb is telling us. A chattering fool comes to ruin. What is it that makes you a fool in the first place? It's all that chattering, and it's the type of things that you chatter about. And what does that eventually lead to? It leads to ruin. Who can help me? What is ruin? Okay, if we think about it in a practical way, when we go to certain areas, we see buildings that have fallen down over time because nobody looked after them or somebody came and vandalized them, and we refer to them as ruins because they mean nothing anymore. They were once amazing, they were once brilliant, they were once phenomenal, and now there's just bugger all left of them. They are in ruins. Now, the Bible is trying to give you that idea. There's a lot of people whose lives today might be amazing and wonderful and phenomenal and spectacular and really, really great. But if they don't watch the way that they chatter, if they don't be careful with the way that they speak, there's going to come a time when we're going to look at them, and just like you go to Rome and you see all these long ago good buildings, ancient. Thank you. You see these ancient buildings that if you lived 2,000 years ago, you would be standing there going like, wow. Now it's like, geez, because there's nothing left of it. And what is it that causes that? The Bible says chatter. Where does chatter come from? Chatter comes from your mouth. Chatter comes out your lips, from your tongue, out of your vocal cords, and it's got to do with the way we speak. It's got to do with what we allow to come out of our mouth, how we let it come out of our mouth. It brings a big curse upon your life. So, the wise in heart accept commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. And then I want to add to that Proverbs chapter 13 verse 3, which says, and this is quite an amazing scripture if you think about it. He says, he who guards his lips guards his life. But he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Where did you hear that before? We've just looked at it in the book of Proverbs 10 verse 8. A chattering fool comes to ruin. Yeah, he says he who speaks rashly comes to ruin. Now let's look at this whole thing. He who guards his lips guards his life. How many of you pray for God to protect you? Now, be honest. You know, we get up in the mornings, it's like, oh Lord, you know what, the world is in a really bad place. There's crime everywhere, there's corruption everywhere, people drive like idiots all the time. Please protect me, please look after me. Lord, guard my life. Now here's the problem. You can pray and pray and pray and pray and ask for God to look after you and to bless you and to protect you. But you could be the reason why there's no protection in your life in the first place. Because the Bible makes it very clear that if you do not guard your lips, your life is wide open for destruction. Because he who guards his lips guards his life. God says you want your life to be guarded. You want your life to be protected. You got to watch the way you speak. Because if you don't watch the way you speak, guarding means you must be awake. You must be careful how you speak. You must be careful what you speak. Because if you are not careful, you are not guarding. And if you are not guarding, you are vulnerable. At the moment, we've got a whole big spate. I've just heard about it from somebody. We've got a whole big spate of robberies with armored cars and, you know, all of that type of stuff. We guard our money. Why? Because people have figured out, if you don't guard your money, it seems to disappear. Not because you lose it, because somebody comes and takes it. So you've got to protect it. So if something is precious to you, then in a worldly sense, we take steps to protect it. Some people might have a very valuable object and they take it to the bank and they say to the bank, listen, how much to put it in your safety deposit box or something to that effect? And we know that it's behind one of those huge big round doors that's got these pins that pop out everywhere and it's got like time delays and all sorts of stuff. And now we sleep safe at night because grandma's ring is in there and it's safe. Now, here's a novel idea. We guard things that even though they might have some monetary value, in the bigger scheme of things are actually worthless. But that which is of infinite worth being my life, sometimes I don't guard it at all. Sometimes I actually have a very don't care attitude about it. And maybe I don't realize the value of my life. But I want to tell you something. Your life is of infinite value. And God wants you, God expects you to guard it. Now, how do you start guarding your life? I want to say to you again, it's no use you pray, you go on your knees every night and you ask God to look after you and to bless you and to protect you and to keep you safe from the evil one. Even Jesus taught us in the Bible, deliver us from evil, like protect us from the evil one. If we are the reason why the evil one is in our life in the first place. And the way that the evil one gets into our life is quite simple. It's by the way that we speak. Proverbs 13 verse 3, he who guards his lips guards his life. But he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. What is it to speak rashly? Well, probably that's a good way of looking at it. To speak without thinking. I'm going to actually look at that a bit later. But one has to be careful how you speak. You can't just have opinions about everything. You have to know what's going on. You can't just speak things. You have to weigh your words before you speak. Amen? The Word of God is full of truth. Amen? And we have to measure what we speak and what we say with the truth that comes from the Word of God. So, God's Word has a surprising abundant amount of things to say about the tongue. And for the greatest part, it's not all that good. Jesus himself understood and underwent the destructive power of the tongue. About 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I can't remember how long ago it was, we were at one of our Sunday meetings and God had spoken to me a while ago about a specific something. I'll explain it a bit later. It's about the way we speak about certain things. And there is a warning in the Bible that one has to be very careful how you approach spiritual things. Okay? And I spoke to the group of people that were there and I said to them, this and this and this is the situation. To bring it up, in the book of Jude, it says there that one should be careful how you speak about spiritual beings, how you approach them, etc., etc. Because even the archangel Michael, when he confronted Satan, was careful what he said and careful how he spoke. And I said that, you know, sometimes when we get angry at the devil, we call him names, we all sorts of things like that, and that, the Bible says, is going to bring problems into your life. And if anybody has done something like that, I suggest we pray about it, we confess it to God, we repent of it, we renounce it, and we ask God to help us not to go there again, because according to the Bible, it will put your life in bondage. In fact, let me just very quickly read you what that scripture says. Comes from the book of Jude, which is somewhere here in the back. Let's quickly find it. It's only one little page. And sometimes it hides from me. Such as, I found it. Listen to this. In the very same way, it's from the book of Jude. There is no chapter. There is only, call it chapter 1. And it's only verses, and it comes from verse 8. In the same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies. They reject authority and they slander celestial beings. What does the word slander imply? To slander somebody is to speak bad about them, all right? To speak ugly. Okay. They slander celestial beings, but even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare bring a slanderous accusation against him, but he said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, are the very things that destroy them. In other words, he says what some people are speaking about celestial beings would be angels, or even fallen angels would still qualify, is what eventually destroys them. Again, what is it that brings destruction to these people's lives? It's the way they speak. It's the things that they speak that actually brings destruction into their life. Now, you know, I would venture to say that day, around 80% of the people that we prayed for had serious manifestations of something happening to them when we prayed with them about this. The Bible says, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and they that use it will eat its fruit. When you open yourself up by speaking the wrong things, it gives the enemy power over your life. And when the enemy has power over your life, he uses that power to bring destruction to you. Now, let me ask you a question. What is God's plan for your life? All right, we all know Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future." Now, that should put a smile on your face because it's good. God wants you to be prosperous. But sometimes we are the reason why we battle to prosper, because of what we speak. And so the Word of God warns us we have to be careful about the way that we speak. We have to be careful what we say. And we have to be careful even when it comes to celestial beings, angels, even the devil himself, how we speak. Because it can open a door for the enemy to come into our life. And when the enemy comes into your life, here's the facts. He's a thief. The thief came to steal. The thief came to kill. The thief came to destroy. Okay. Sorry, can you just grab that for me? Jesus himself understood and underwent the destructive power of people's tongues. Was everybody happy with who Jesus was? No. Jesus had a lot of people that didn't like him. Jesus had a lot of people that had nothing good to say about him. Now, can we be affected by the way people speak over us? For sure we can, and I'll look at that a little bit later. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 22 to 37, Jesus does a miracle. Pass me that. Let me just read it quickly. Matthew chapter 12 from verse 22. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. "Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was both blind and dumb, and Jesus healed him." How many of you agree with me that that's a good thing? The guy is blind. The guy's dumb. Dumb doesn't mean he's stupid. Dumb means he can't speak. All right? The guy's blind and he cannot speak. Jesus performs a miracle and heals him. That should be cause for celebration. Everybody in that whole town should be jumping up and down, praising God and glorifying his name. But now you see something interesting. A lot of the people there are not happy about what happened. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But, and this is where the but comes in. When the Pharisees heard this, they said, "Ah, it is only by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons, that this fellow drives out demons." That is called slander. Okay? They are speaking bad about Jesus. What are they doing to the crowd? The crowd is excited about what Jesus did. There's a lot of people there that's like, oh, this is a miracle. Oh, this is amazing. This is wonderful. But they're going to those people and they're saying, hey, don't you know the only reason why this oak can do what he does is because he's working with the devil? Jesus is doing good. Do you agree with me? These people are using their tongues to discredit what Jesus has just done. That is called slander. And that is bringing destruction to Jesus' reputation. That is bringing destruction to the kingdom of God. And that is glorifying Satan himself. Now take into account that we're talking about religious people doing these things. This is not a bunch of Satanists trying to discredit Jesus. These are the very people that should be appreciating what he is doing. But they are not. Okay, listen to this. But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it is only by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons, that this fellow drives out demons. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city and household divided against itself will not stand. Now, if Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself, how then can his kingdom stand? How many of you have realized that the kingdom of Satan is not doing too badly right now? It's quite powerful and it's growing by the day. Murder is up, corruption is up, violence is up, rape is up, prostitution is up. You name it, everything is just growing, growing, growing. If Satan was working against Satan, then evil will destroy evil and good will prevail. But that's not what we're seeing, is it? Evil is feeding evil. Evil is not destroying evil, and therefore the kingdom of Satan is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's exactly what Jesus said to these people. He said to them, if things work the way that you are trying to get people to understand, by this time the devil would have been gone. If you put 10 people in a room and they all keep fighting against each other, they will eventually destroy each other. You will come into the room and there will be a bunch of dead people lying there. But if they all work together, when you come in there, they will sort you out. The fact of the matter is, Satan cannot be working against Satan, because then by now, Satan's kingdom would have been gone. But it's growing and growing. Okay, now, then he says, and if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up that strong man? Then he can rob his house. Okay. Jesus says, you saw me throw the strong man out. The strong man, what Jesus was really saying is, the reason this person could not speak or see was because his sight and his speech was stolen by a strong man. And the only way for me to get back what was stolen by the strong man is if I am more powerful than the strong man, I can bind him up and then I can take his possessions, which included the speech of this individual and the sight of this individual, and then I can take it and give it back to him. So I'm not working with him, I'm coming against him, but what's with me is more powerful. All right, going on. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And yeah, we have to be very careful. We have to tread very, very carefully. What Jesus was talking about is the following. Under the power of the Holy Spirit, he did a miracle which opened the eyes of the blind, allowed the mute to speak by means of a demon coming out of an individual. The people then said, oh, but the spirit working here is Satan himself. When you attribute the work of the Holy Spirit to the devil, you are in very, very dangerous territory. And I always say to people, if you do not know exactly what's happening, don't open your mouth and say what you will regret later. And don't open your mouth and say what you can't take back later. If you don't know, wait. Don't judge. Ask questions later. Because I can tell you now, there are a lot of people that have grieved the Holy Spirit by the things that they spoke when the Holy Spirit was working, but they did not understand. So when you are in a place where you begin to see some strange things happening and you're not 100% sure what's going on, before you get up and say, ah, this is of the devil, be quiet. Wait, because there will be an opportune time for you to ask some questions and then get the right information. Otherwise, you will curse yourself. And what will it be that curses you? Your tongue will curse you because you are going to speak without knowing. Then he says the following, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. How do you know that you are dealing with an apple tree? Okay, this is me. I'm not talking about you, this is me. When I walk into a place and there's a whole bunch of trees, I see a whole bunch of trees. I don't know what tree I'm dealing with, but when it's in bloom and the fruit is there, I can clearly identify an apple tree. I can clearly identify a lemon tree. I can clearly identify whatever other trees, plum tree, because the fruit tells me exactly what tree I'm dealing with. I'm not a botanist. I don't know the difference, but the fruit tells me the difference. And this is what Jesus says. You guys are judging me. The thing you should be looking at is, am I producing fruit or am I producing thorns and thistles? And the fact that the man's eyes opened and the fact that the man can speak, that is seen as fruit. So why, if there's fruit, do you then say, I'm doing the work of Satan? You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? Now listen to this. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What were the Pharisees showing Jesus and everybody else by the way they spoke? They were simply showing everybody that their hearts were rotten. Their hearts were rotted. Can I tell you why? Because they had a problem with Jesus. Do you know what upset them? This verse here. Verse 23. All the people were astonished and said, could this be the son of David? The people got excited. And the people said, wow, isn't this man the son of David? And the moment people began to praise, in a sense, Jesus and began to speak good about him, they were no longer looking at the Pharisees, who liked the attention very, very much. Jealousy kicked in. It turned to anger and bitterness. It manifested through the way that they spoke, and it clearly showed that the fruit coming out of their tongue, there was no fruit. There was like a viper. In fact, Jesus refers to the Pharisees as, you brood of vipers. Okay. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out from the good stored in him, and the evil man brings evil out of the evil stored inside of him. But I tell you, men will have to give an account on the day of judgment of every careless word they have spoken. This should make us all think a bit. You can't just speak for the sake of speaking. I want to take you back to that first proverb. Listen to this. Just hold there for me, please. He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. What is it to speak rashly? is when you don't know what you're talking about, but you want to talk in any case, then you're speaking rashly, and then according to the Bible, you are speaking idle words. And when you speak idle words, the Word of God says one day when you stand before God, God will demand an account from you. And it's going to bring problems. Immediately, the Pharisees began to condemn what he did, and they accused him of being in league with Satan. Jesus disputes that, and he proves to them that this is nonsense. Amen? Now, this passage brings us to the place that we understand that a person's tongue is a good indication of the spiritual state of that person. Good people with good hearts will produce good fruit. Bad people with bad hearts will produce, let's just call it, bad fruit. Jesus accuses the Pharisees of speaking careless or idle words, and he indicates that they would have to give an account to God one day of the things that they speak. Let me make this more relevant. Somebody comes to you and says to you, "Oh, did you hear the latest? So-and-so is having an affair with so-and-so." All right. Pretty serious accusation. There's a couple of people going red now. Why? No, I'm only joking. Somebody comes to you and says, so-and-so stole money from their job. You can put anything in there, whatever you want. Somebody comes and shares something. They don't know whether it's the truth because they heard it from somebody else. Okay, what is idle words? Idle words is to speak without knowing the facts, which is why gossip will get you into hot water. Because a lot of gossip has actually no truth attached to it. It's just hearsay. This one says that, says that, says that, says that. And eventually it comes to a place where it destroys somebody's good reputation. But it's nothing but idle words because people speak without knowing the truth. You know, if you totally destroy a person's reputation, you have destroyed their life. Now, doesn't the Bible also say what you sow, you will reap? If your tongue caused the destruction of another person's life, what is waiting for you in your own life? Destruction. If we speak destruction over somebody else, even if what we say is not true, we are going to pay for it with destruction coming upon our life. And that is why when somebody comes to you and they got something bad to say about somebody else, you say, "Listen, yeah, you know what? I don't know if any of that is true, and right now I'm not willing to commit to anything like about that, and I'm not even going to repeat that. I think it's better you go and discuss it with them." I stop it right there. We cannot let stories continue if we don't know what's happening. You know, I want to say something about that. I know a lot of people in this place who have undergone a lot of pain, heartache, and sorrow because of the tongues of other people. And many times what people said about them was not true. It was unsubstantiated. There was not even a smidgen of truth to it. But people ran around proclaiming it, sometimes even shouting it from the rooftops, as if it was truth. What is that? It is slander, but it is also idle words because you speak without knowing. What will you do one day before God because of what you've just done? He's going to ask you, hey, Mr. Bean, do you remember that day when you stood in that group of people and you couldn't wait to talk about Rian and you had all these things to say? Who did you get your information from? Oh, it was from Auntie Sunny. But you know Auntie Sunny is just like the local post office. Half the things she says is not true. Why did you go and repeat it? Oh, but she said it. Oh, but did you know whether it was true or not? No, I didn't. Well, let me show you what happened to Rian's life because of what you said. And then he sees on that big screen All the problems that it brought into my life, all the destruction that it brought into my life. And then God says to him, you know what, Mr. Bean? For years you battled down in the pit and you couldn't come out and you cried before me. Oh, but God, why am I stuck and why is nothing happening for me? I'm showing you why nothing happened for you. Because you reaped what you sowed. You paid for your tongue. I want to tell you something. There are a lot of Christian people who are battling right now big time because of what they brought into their own life, because of the way that they speak. Careless words, a translation of the Greek word argos, denoting idle, barren, or fruitless words, yielding no return, profitless, thoughtless words. How often don't we say something without thinking what we would say through first? Sometimes we just blurt something out. But God's word says you should measure your words. You should measure your words. Proverbs 21 verse 23. He who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. Wow. You know, if you think about this, this is mind-blowing. Because the Bible says, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. We should be less worried about what the neighbor does and what the one behind us and in front of us does, and more worried about what we do and what we say. Because calamity comes through this channel, our mouth. What we say and how we say it, etc., what we speak about other people, is often all the devil was looking for. Because where do you think realistically does calamity come from? You know, there's a lot of demons in this world looking for a job. No, I'm serious. You see, the only way, a busy devil is a happy devil. When they're busy giving you a hard time, when they're busy destroying your life, when they're busy sucking the life out of you, when they're busy digging a pit for you, they're happy. But you see, in this case, they can't be busy until you don't give them place. It's us that give them place by what we say. You know, I want to give you a bit of advice. I want to give you some, let's call it a good tip. Sometimes it's best to just be quiet. When you're in a group and people begin to talk about this one and that one and that one, excuse yourself. Just move on. Don't be there. Don't be involved. Because the more you say, the deeper you sink. Amen? Proverbs 21 verse 23, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from calamity. In other words, think about it this way. You can, to some extent, protect your own life. But you got to do something to get to that place. You got to be careful what you say. You got to be careful what you allow to come out of your mouth. This scripture confirms that it is your tongue that will cause you great harm and much calamity unless you place a guard in front of it and keep watch over what comes out of your mouth. The Pharisees made themselves guilty of speaking idle words. I have a question for you. Did they know what they were talking about when they said, oh, he only works through Beelzebub, the prince of the demons? It was a total fabrication. There was no truth to it. It was simply to discredit Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something. None of them probably thought that they were committing a very serious offense. You know, it's like just, we don't like him very much. We want people to like us more. So we're going to drop a couple of stones there and hopefully the people will take it further. But they didn't realize that they were actually destroying their own lives. Jesus says that if a tree produces good fruit, then obviously the tree must also be good. But what he was really saying to them was that he, Jesus, had just produced good fruit by healing a person, delivering them from evil spirits, and yet they are calling him a bad tree. In a nice way, he's calling them stupid, without actually using the word, because that's what they are. They didn't think this through. These men were evil. They were not interested in the facts. They didn't take into account the truth, but their words flowed from their corrupt hearts, and therefore Jesus says they spoke idle words. Now, please note, God does not protect you or me or any of us, no matter how good we may think we are, from the calamity that our own tongues unleashes in our own lives. It is up to you to safeguard your life by not speaking idle words. The moment you speak it and it's out there, something is going to come back for you. Amen? And can I tell you what I have noticed? You know, in the wild, you have this thing that when one animal is hurt, the others seem to turn on him and they all go for him and eventually they destroy that animal. Have you seen that? Okay. Unfortunately, in human culture, that is sometimes exactly the same thing. When somebody begins to take shots, it's like everybody wants to get on the bandwagon. Everybody has their 2 cents worth. Oh, yeah, but you haven't heard this. And oh, wait, let me tell you. And everybody just keeps fueling the fire that is destroying the poor person's life. Think about it this way. Probably because of what you're doing today, tomorrow you will be that person. And I don't think you want to be in that place. How do you stop that? Protect yourself. Be careful what you say. Proverbs 18 verse 21. Sorry. Satan absolutely loves to make use of this fact when planning his strategies against us. If he has seen that you have a bit of a loose tongue, he will use that to great effect to bring a lot of destruction into your life. Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Okay, I want you to think about it this way. If I speak good things, whether it be about myself or about others, if I speak good things, what's going to come back to me? Good things. Fruit. Do you like a nice banana? Probably you do. Do you like a nice orange? Probably you do. Now let me ask you this. You know, in America they got these cactuses that grow there. It's like, you know, those ones with these long thorns. Imagine having to chow down on one of those things. Would you still like that? That's going to give you more than just indigestion. That's probably going to destroy you. But the thing is, certain things we speak will come back to us as fruit that we eat. Our spirit eats it. It will sustain us. It will bless us. Other things we speak come back like that cactus. It's got thorns everywhere. It's poisonous. And if you have to keep eating that, it's no wonder that your life goes nowhere. It's no wonder that you're permanently sick. It's no wonder that you never have energy, that you never have power. It's no wonder that everything goes wrong in your life. It's got to do with what you feed your spirit. Well, our spirit is not just fed by the word of God. Our spirit, to some extent, is fed by what we speak, because the Bible says you will eat your words. You know, we have, in a sense, a proverb, which comes directly from the Bible. Sometimes when somebody has bad things to say, somebody will point fingers at them and say, hey, you're going to eat those words. And then the person's like, ah. Well, let me tell you something. No truer words were ever spoken. And this is something people don't seem to understand. The word of God is alive. God doesn't have to watch over what we say. It's built into the godly universe. When you speak something, it'll go towards the person and then it comes back to you. It might take a day, it might take a week, it might take a year. But at some point in time, the same words that you spoke, you will eat. In the spirit, you will eat your words. Now imagine if you spent the last week breaking down, destroying annihilating somebody's reputation without any smidgen of truth. What you going to eat? And how you going to feel when you ate that stuff coming back? If your words are filled with bitterness, with anger, with rage, with spite, with malice. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound appetizing when it comes back in. Because you're going to eat it. Whether you like it or not, you're going to eat it. I have a feeling there's a lot of diarrhea in your future. It's got nothing to do with the laxatives that you're using. It's your own words. Indigestion. Problems. We're still getting there. We're still getting there. Okay, let's talk about that. When the Pharisees told the people that Jesus did what he did because he works with the devil, or they sort of insinuated that he was the devil himself, did they speak truth or lie? They spoke lies. If the truth is fruit, what is the lie? Well, we can call it poison. We can call it bad fruit. Bad fruit is not good for you. We can call it thorns and thistles, which is not good for you. We can refer to it as a cactus, which is not good for you. And in the end, it's going to corrupt your insides because it's going to destroy your life. Satan doesn't have the power to just do whatever he wants. Let me teach you something about how God created everything. Even though the Bible says that the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking whom he may devour, he can't just do whatever he wants. He still works within the boundaries set by the Word of God. The Bible says, give the devil no place. So in some regards, he would need to first have a place before he can come after you. Do you agree with me? So the thing is, we mustn't give the devil place. But now he knows that there are certain things that human beings, mankind, is prone to. And one of those things is we don't measure our words when we speak. So guess what he does? He entices you to do that because he knows the moment you do that, it opens the door for him to come. We can give Satan that power through our tongues. Your tongue has the power of life and death. Your tongue can bless or curse. Your tongue can build up or break down. And it is this principle that the devil will try and make use of to get to you, to bring calamity and destruction into your life. And even though Satan may not have the right to destroy us, he does have the right to bring to us exactly what we bring to ourselves. You keep cursing, the enemy is going to curse your life. And often Christians are very busy cursing their own lives through what they speak and how they speak. I'm going to give you just some examples. You could put any example here, and I'm sure all of you can figure out how this stuff works. What do you think is going to happen to you if you keep saying over yourself, oh, I'm so stupid? What's going to happen? Well, your tongue has the power of life and death. What you speak will come to pass. There's some devil sitting there thinking, what? You want to be stupid? I'm going to help you. He's going to come sit here on your mind. He's going to oppress your thoughts. You're going to begin to say stupid things. You're going to begin to do stupid things. But where did the power come from? You gave it to him. By what you spoke, you gave it to him. I'm so stupid. It goes the same. Sometimes you say, oh, you know, I'm never going to understand this. No, you're right. You're never going to understand it. Not the way you speak. You should be saying, in Jesus' name, I will understand this. You should be speaking life, not speaking death. Because our words have power. Satan knows that. In fact, your words have more power than what Satan has in your own life. Satan has probably said a million times over my life, I wish he was dead. Well, guess what? I'm still around. But when I begin to say, I wish I was dead, I wish I was dead, guess what? Probably I won't see tomorrow. Because there's more power in my words than what there is in his words. I can tell you now, he's cursed my life 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. But I'm still around. Because I'm not going to curse myself that way. But you see, sometimes we do things like that. And God wants us to understand that that brings a lot of destruction. That's the next one I have. Sometimes we're in a really bad place. You know, everybody now and then goes into a dark place, a bad place. And sometimes in a bad place, you say these words, I wish I was dead. Now, let me teach you something about the devil. Yes, he would love to take your life, but he loves it even more when he makes you suffer. Because you see, when you're dead, there's no more joy in it. But when he's got you on that slow fire and he's roasting you, and he hears you scream and complain and moan, that feeds him. So he doesn't want to take your life right now. He just wants to bring death now to every area of your life so that you can complain from morning till night and curse yourself even further. So he will bring death to your finances. He will bring death to your mind. He will bring death to your body. Like your intestines stop working. You sit on the toilet for hours and nothing happens. He's bringing death. You call death, death comes. That's how he works. Oh, have you ever had somebody that is really, really frustrating you and giving you a hard time? Okay. And then you've had enough and it's like, oh, you know, I can't take this anymore. You make me sick. You make me sick. The next 3 weeks you're in bed with some weird like symptoms and the doctor doesn't know what's going on and that demon is thinking, man, I can't believe you opened this door for me. I've been trying to get to you for months. And now you called me. Oh, I'm going to make you sick. You see, at the moment when we say that, we don't think that it's so bad. But we've opened the door. And we're eating our words. Some people, you try this, you try that, and things don't work out. And then we begin to say, oh, you know what? I'll never succeed. I can't do this. I want to teach you something. Even in the kingdom of God, it takes perseverance to get somewhere. It takes perseverance. There are many men and women of God that got knocked down once, twice, 50 times, 100 times. The difference between them that got somewhere and them that didn't get somewhere is some people give up and some people don't. You gotta persevere. The devil wants you to begin to say those words, I'm never gonna make it. I can't do this. I'll never get there. Because then you take yourself out of the race. You got to keep on saying, I'm going to do it. And we're not talking positive thinking. Yeah, we're talking speaking life. Prophesying into your situation that you can do it. When you ask God about it, he's going to say to you, man, of course you can do it. I put everything in you that is necessary for you to do it. But I never said to you, it's going to be easy. Was it easy for Jesus what he did on the cross? It was mind-blowingly difficult, but look at the reward. All of us are sitting here today because of what he did. Do you think it was easy for Paul? Man, go and read the Bible. The oak had a tough life, but today you and I are sitting here and we experiencing the blessing of his wisdom. We are seeing how God worked in his life to show us how God works in our life. Did he accomplish what God called him to do? Yes, and so much more. How many times did the devil tell him to give up? Probably every day. To his credit, he never did. But when you begin to say, I can't do this. I'm never going to succeed. You give the devil power. He comes against you. Yeah, okay, let me speak about that. Here is another one that brings a lot of problems into people's lives, and people are not aware of it. Swear words. We call them swear words, but they are actually known as curse words. If he upsets me and I'm like, you effing idiot, you know. What did I just do? I cursed him. I released a curse word into his life. Now let me help you to understand something. There's two things that's going to happen now. First, I'm going to have to eat those words. If I sent a curse, I'm going to eat a curse. Man, what's that going to do to my health? Only God knows. But secondly, the Bible says, like a bird by a wandering, like a fluttering sparrow or something like that, so a curse that is causeless shall not come. If I curse him, but God doesn't believe that that should be on him, it bounces back. And the curse that I said to him will now come and sit upon me. What is that going to do to my life? I curse my life. Yes, you're right. I'm going to go lower and lower and lower into the pit. You know, a lot of people don't realize that when they keep cursing like that, they keep using curse words. Explain to me, how is God going to bless you if you keep cursing that way? It's not going to work. I'm sorry, but you're going to battle. Because most of the people that you're cursing don't deserve it. And therefore, it's not going to sit on them. And if it can't sit on them, there's only two people in the equation. It's you and the person you're cursing. If the demon can't sit on the person you're cursing, the only other one in the equation is you. Comes back to you. And it makes you suffer. Sorry? Yes. Yeah. So what must we do? Be careful what comes out of your mouth. Because what comes out of your mouth will determine whether you have a good quality of life, a blessed life, or whether your life is cursed. And it doesn't help you blame the devil if it's you that's opening yourself up to all of this stuff. Then you have to change. That's why the Bible has a lot to say about the tongue, because God knows that that's most of us, it's our problem. The things we say, the way we say it, is not good. There's nothing wrong with getting angry. There's such a thing as righteous anger as well. When Jesus walked into the church and everybody was selling things and what, a righteous anger came upon him and he just exploded there and he threw all the tables over and he kicked the people out. And at that point in time, it was the right thing to do. When Samson heard what the Philistines had done, blah, 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 the Spirit of God came upon him and an anger raged inside of him and he went out there and he killed a whole bunch of Philistines and it was the right thing to do. But it's no good. I have, in a sense, a righteous anger about an injustice, but then I go off in a tirade of half an hour cursing and swearing everybody. Because what's that going to get me? In the doang. In problems. Satan is very good at projecting thoughts into our minds, thus setting a trap for us if we accept his thoughts and speak them. Now, the reason I say that is because, you know, the things we speak starts off as a thought. Am I right? We first process things and then we speak it. Okay. Now, if you have to guard your mouth, you also have to guard your thoughts. Because your mouth is going to speak what's going on in your mind. And we have to watch what we allow in our mind, because sometimes our mind becomes very negative and very dark, and that pulls us down into a very dark place, and then we allow these things to come out of our mouth. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5, we take captive every thought and make it obedient unto Christ. It is your and my responsibility to take our thoughts captive. What does that mean? It means we have to monitor our thoughts, and when they start going where they shouldn't be going, we must put our foot down and say, hey, we're not going to go there. No, in Jesus' name, we're not. You know, most people that committed murder first sat and pondered what the person did and who the person is. And you know what? The more they think about it, the more angry they become. And the more their thoughts go into that bad place, the more the anger and the violence begins to rise up in them. And eventually, they are going to act upon it. But it starts as a thought. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he shall be. If you keep thinking violent thoughts, you are going to be a violent man. If you keep thinking negative thoughts, you will be a negative man. Amen. Am I out of time? Okay, I'm almost finished. James chapter 3 verse 6 says, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. It sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it itself is set on fire by hell. This is not referring to a healthy tongue. This is referring to a tongue that speaks idle words, is destructive, etc., etc. But it is a warning to us. The Bible says your tongue can have a direct link to hell itself. How does that work? When you give the devil free rein to speak through your mouth. And the same fire that fuels that which is coming out of your mouth is the same fire that will eventually destroy your own life. Jesus himself said that by your own words you will be condemned. James says that one wrong word can change the whole course of your life. I had a girl that I prayed for many years ago. It was in Bloemfontein. I was ministering in a church there, and a girl came for prayer. She had a lot of health problems. And as I prayed for her, a demon manifested. And at one stage, the demon kept screaming these words, you are nothing but an oxygen thief. You are nothing but an oxygen thief. I cast the demon out. Was a bit of a fight, but it left. And you know, later on, she told me that when she was growing up, I believe it was her uncle or somebody very close that part raised her when he got angry with her. And he was in a dark place, and he was in a bad place. And he sort of vented his anger. He used to call her that. He used to call her, like when she made a mistake, or when she didn't live up to his expectations, in his anger he would lash out at her and he would say, you oxygen thief, you are a waste of my time, you know, stuff like that. And that was enough to call that spirit to come and afflict her life. And because he was speaking the words, you are an oxygen thief, you are wasting good oxygen, that thing came to suck the life out of her. It wasn't something she did. It was something somebody spoke over her that had authority over her life to speak it into her life in the first place. And that's just sad. And therefore, my brother and sister, we have to be very careful what we speak over other people, because James tells us one wrong word can change the course of your life. What do we speak? What do we speak? Speak life. Amen? Speak life. And can I tell you something? Sometimes it's difficult because everything in you wants to curse and freak and perform. But you dig deep. You take a deep breath. and you force yourself to speak life. We all have a flesh. The flesh wants to get angry. The flesh wants to yell and scream and curse and what. But the Spirit says, speak life. Because when we speak life, I want to tell you something. That devil that wants you to destroy everything with your tongue is going to have a panic attack right there. Because you've just done the opposite of what he wanted. And by what you spoke, you've blessed. Brothers and sisters, when God says in his word, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. God is not lying. God wants to bless you. God wants to prosper you. But God needs you to work with him. Because sometimes we work against him. God's got a lot of structures in place to bless us and to take us forward. But when we speak, when we open our mouth, we cancel them out. Because instead of blessing, we curse. Instead of speaking life, we speak death. Well, we have to change that. We have to change the way we speak. I've shared with you before, how did God create the heavens and the earth? God simply spoke and it came to pass. In whose image are you created? You are created in the image of God. That means to some extent the same ability lies within you. But we must bless and not curse. We must uplift and not break down. Amen? Did anybody learn something tonight? Can we give the Lord a big hand, please? Hmm?